Welcome to Pride Pulse, a special podcast series celebrating South Africa's Pride Month this October. I am your host, Ivium Sandisi. Each week, we'll be featuring incredible voices from the LGBTIQ plus community, delving into topics that shape and impact queer lives. Today, we are focusing on the significance of Pride and what it means for the community. I am thrilled to be joined by Yaya Mavumza, a multi-award-winning transgender activist, disruptor, and multidisciplinarian artist. Yaya has worked tirelessly to bring visibility to transgender issues and has been a major force in the fight for LGBTIQ plus rights in South Africa. She's also a multimedia personality with an inspiring career and has worked with various NGOs. Yaya, it's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad that News 24 is doing something for Pride.
I mean, that is really, really...
Yes, yes, yes. Yaya, you've been such a powerful voice for the transgender community.
Thank you.
What does Pride mean to you personally?
Pride, I think it's such a broad thing for me. You know, Pride, at first, you know, I just saw it as a celebration of being. But now I realize the importance of the day where we go out in the streets, march for those rights, for our existence, to celebrate us, you know, openly, without fear and many other things. But I think, you know, as I reflect on how many other Pride events I've attended and how I find myself feeling at different spaces, you know, I feel different when I'm at Cape Town Pride when I'm in Joburg Pride or as I'm in Durban Pride. And it's for me, it goes back to saying this is always a moment for us to say we are, we exist, we are important, we are equally important. This is our space equally. It doesn't matter where you are. Even if I'm in Belgium Pride or wherever around the world, it still is my space, you know, because I'm with my community and I'm celebrating my existence and I'm fighting for my rights and for those that are marginalized.
As someone who've been to like all these different Pride events in different cities, what would you say outside of just being in a space with like the community, outside of like visibility, what other feeling does one get? I'm not sure if you can get
I'll tell you this for sure. If you are at Pride, you find a sense of belonging because you see other people that look exactly like you. That not might look like you, that they look exactly like you. You know, because remember at Pride, there is no lookbook of how this is how we're supposed to look. People come as they are. So you are bound to find people that really look different. If you come from a society where you are told that as a gay man or as a trans woman or as a lesbian woman, you need to look a certain way, trust me, you at Pride are going to find somebody that does not look how society says they should look like because everybody looks the way they want to look. Yeah. And you are bound to find somebody that looks like you. If you want to look butch, I remember this one time I went to an event and this one person said, "Oh, you're such a boy. You know, you look like a boy, you know." Yes, to me. And I didn't mind it because for me, I thought to myself, this is a person who is conditioned, you know, by society standards to say a trans woman needs to look all feminine and fabulous. Mm. So if I have my baggy jeans and funny enough, I was actually wearing my soccer t-shirts, my Orlando Pirates t-shirts and a cap. And I think that was the idea of me looking like a boy because I'm wearing a team t-shirt, which is deemed to be known as something that male will support, you know. But I'm still a girl, you know, and So the nice thing then, like I said, at Pride, you find all those kind of person that will look anyhow they want to look, not based on what society says they should look like.
You know, that's a thing that I'm also, that's an aspect I felt like in varsity I was like dealing a lot with when I felt, when I just didn't want to dress up. I didn't want to present as like a super feminine.
Yeah.
I just want to be, you know, no makeup, but still awake.
Because my thing is, I'll tell you this, makeup and clothes does not define who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't. Because I always have this conversation with people to say, especially when it comes to like hormones, to say, are you telling me that a trans woman who does not have access to that is transless? They are not trans enough because they don't have access. I'm not even talking about a person who have access but does not want it. I'm talking about a person who does not have access. They want it, but they don't have access. So we're saying that they are not trans enough? No, we cannot say those things. So you showing up the way you want to show up at the time does not take away anything about who you are.
For you, how did you negotiate those things for you? Did you always have that understanding on some like, this is who I am, despite of however I might want to present that day, I am still who I am?
You know, I'm so glad that I come from a family where I was taught that what you have, you should be grateful of what you have, and what you have, Nelsega Ikona. So how do I even translate this into English? But just to say, you know what, let's what you have be enough for you, you know?
Be satisfied with what you have.
Exactly. Be satisfied with what we have. And I'm so glad that my grandmother taught me that, because when I got into spaces where people were so judgmental based on how you look, it's never really fazed me much to say, now I'm under pressure. I need to be in a 6-inch high heel for me to fit in and look like other trans girls that are seen as trans-worthy or trans-deserving by society, you know. And I always say, for me, it is important that I'm true to myself, because I now understand that the platform that I've been given is not just only for me, but it's for many other people, and also to teach and, you know, to also empower young people and those that, you know, that needs encouragement. Yes, it might have taken me time to come into terms with knowing myself, but I think, you know, getting into a lot of spaces and seeing other people that looked like me, you know, one reference that I always have and was Ikomesh. As much as she had not initially had said at the time that she was a trans woman because of perhaps the language, but I knew that this is the woman that looks like me, you know, this is me. And, you know, her and I are the same person, you know.
Uh-huh.
And having lived with Professor Susan Lemuholi, who then gave me, you know, information on trans lives, you know, and what is being trans, then I understood, oh, okay, this is actually who I am. But also it didn't mean that now I need to change my wardrobe, because, you know, I already wore what I wanted to wear, you know. I just find clothes that I like and wear them the way I want to, but it's not because I want to prove to people to say, because I'm trans, I need to look a certain way. No.
Oh, that is, you know, like, that is a very powerful statement, because when I speak to some of like my trans friends, well, I feel like we are still trying to like navigate this journey.
And it takes forever.
It takes forever.
And it's okay. For it to take forever.
I think I'm learning that, like, it's okay. Because I'm really like, oh, God, why am I not already this far ahead in my transition? There's always, like, that battle. And when I spoke to one of my friends, and we spoke about how they are in the society, how we feel, how she felt that her being able to present very super feminine is going to save her from violence.
No, that's not true.
And It was, I was like, girl.
It's not true.
It's not.
You know, people are not violent to you because of how you look.
Mm-hmm.
You should never make that mistake and think just because you look a certain way, then you are less of being in danger. Mm-hmm. You know, homophobes, transphobes exist because they are hateful people. Not because they think just because you look a little bit prettier than how I see the other person, then I'm not going to do anything to you. If they want to hate on you, they will hate on you, you know. I know a lot of trans people that have faced violence in the hands of homophobes who actually, according to society standards, they pass. You know, when people speaking of passing, that you look like a certain gender, that people already want you to present as.
Yes.
You know, to say if you're a trans woman, you need to like pass as a straight woman. And for me, I know for a fact that homophobes, they would still hate on you if they find a reason to them to hate on you, regardless of you passing.
You have been involved in so many aspects of like activism, from grassroots work to being in the media spotlight. Do you feel that Pride, as it's celebrated today, is doing enough to raise awareness about specific challenges faced by transgender people?
You know, I see a lot of corporate brands supporting Pride in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I will tell you this, they are in business. They're not allies. Those brands that support Pride in the city, they are in business. They're conducting business. They're not being an ally, because if they were, we would see Pride in the rurals. They will actually say, how about you as Pride take a time and do other activities in the Eastern Cape, in deep areas of KwaZulu-Natal, in Mpumalanga, everywhere around the country. We need to see these events happening, not just out in the city. They need to be also in spaces where education is less about queer lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to celebrate brands wanting ROIs.
I know, that's right.
Out of doing the good. For me, then that is marketing. You know, it's really not them doing anything to support. Yes, it's good for them, of course, to get something in return. But really, if their intentions were to support queer lives and really bring about education about pride and stop hate, it should not just be only be celebration. It cannot be a big celebration in the city only, and then we leave out the people that actually cannot get there and that actually needs it. Imagine if these brands that our families consume every day in the rurals were actually go and have to do activities around Pride and speak on what really matters around our lives. How much change we'll see and how far we'll go. We need that to start happening.
You know, one of the things I find fascinating about your work is how you have blended activism with like your artwork, which I'm like discovering.
Thank you.
How you blend activism with art and like in media. How do you think those creative spaces help shape the narrative around trans visibility and like in Pride in South Africa?
For me, the first thing that I knew when I started painting, I knew for sure that I wanted to change first the narrative of how trans women are viewed in society, which is why most of my artworks, the face is black, because whatever that we do, first we are not seen, you know, and people don't think that yes, you can, you know, and I don't think many people would actually even have thought that as a black transgender woman who's openly trans, you know, and does the work that she does would actually pick up a brush and paint. You know, I wanted to first address that to say, as a trans woman, you can actually do anything that you want to do. And when you get to do whatever that you want to do, you need to be seen, you need to be celebrated, you need to be respected in those spaces. Because sometimes you find that a trans woman get into a space where they really want to be at, and society tells you you do not belong here because you're supposed to be a makeup artist, you're supposed to be a hairstylist, you're supposed to be a fashion designer.
Oh.
You know? Oh. And it is important that trans people really choose what they want to do and do it and be given the opportunity if they deserve to be in those spaces. I'm not saying people must be, must be given an opportunity because, oh, let's just like have her, you know, mm-hmm. or because we want to, it's a favor. No, I'm not asking for people to be done a favor. There are a lot of trans people who are qualified in many, many other things, but they never really get to do those jobs or to perform in those spaces because they are already being told to say, I don't think you can do it because you are trans. And that for me is not fair. It needs to stop, which is why I think for me, my painting wanted to also address that. But I think also, you know, it was also another form of extension for activism for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all about transgender activism. I knew that as position that I've been given to be at, if I paint, of course, the people in the art space, you know, will probably then start seeing me and also seeing that, you know, there are other trans people that actually maybe also are in the art space with besides even just painting that do other things that need to be seen and recognized, you know, because for me, it is important that, you know, when we speak of arts and culture, sports, arts and culture, supporting the artist, trans people shouldn't be left behind. You know, even if it's not me, but any other people, trans people that are there. I hate the idea that, you know what, even when, because these things happen even when trans people work at queer spaces.
Mm.
You know, a trans person gotta be only a receptionist or an admin person, cannot go beyond that. And if they do happen to do that, then they are paid less and mistreated and all those things. And for me, that's not what I'm trying to advocate for. And I don't want to be part of anything that excludes trans people.
What is your view on representation now of trans people in the media? Because that plays a huge role in how people shape the ideas or get to like learn new things.
First, I like that because it takes me back to the show that I did, Becoming,
mm-hmm.
and the positivity that I received from families specifically. And I always say shout out to Mzansi Magic and Connect for and MultiChoice for being able to produce such an amazing and important show in our life. And because I will tell you this, families. And I say families because I think it became a family show. And the response that I usually get, it's usually from a mother, a father, you know, somebody that was watching the show with their family. And for me, that really, really warmed my heart. But how then they saw trans people in a different light and actually just learned that actually they are trans people and this is how we are. And also the LGBTI community. And that show, particularly the season that I was on, because I don't know much about the second season. I didn't really do much follow-up on that. But I'll tell you this, a lot of families respected for us for who we are, did not see us as caricatures. Mm. I don't remember meeting anyone in the street and saying, Tommy, your show was so nice. No, you know, they called me by my name. They respect me. They respect the kind of work that I do. And for me, that's all that I've always wanted to do, to really be seen as an equal to any other person. I wanted, if we walk into a space with a cis woman or a heterosexual woman to be, let us be treated the same. I don't want them to become entertainment because I'm not entertainment, you know. But also going back to the representation on television, then it's important for media, because for me, I think it is important that there are transgender women who play roles on television as women, lead roles. I want to see a transgender woman who's a television presenter proper, not like assisting. I want to see a transgender woman who is a talk show host. You know, I want to see, I'm glad you are here as a journalist, you know, and they're giving you this platform, because then it means that you are respected. I want to see a transgender woman who's an editor. You know, it is important that trans women are given equal opportunities just like everybody else. Not just because you are trans, then you need to be an addition. Let's just have a crossing and, you know, and getting, you know, tea or passing a glass of champagne. I do not want that. And, you know, even when, you know, these awards shows happen, and, you know, I remember when I was on the cover of Glamour South Africa, for me, it was a defining moment, not just for myself, but for many other trans women, to say, it is possible. And yes, this is where we belong, because I don't want then, you know, there is a beautiful cover, but then inside the story, then there is just like three lines of a trans woman being mentioned. Why can't a trans woman be on the cover, you know, and be celebrated equally, you know? And when we get when there are women awards, I want to see a trans woman in that space, you know, being celebrated equally, just like any other, women that are there, because you are not women, you are not less of a woman, you are not less of a woman just because you are trans.
You know, when you were talking about needing to see everyone, it made me think about something that T.S. Madison said about, you know, about how we can, instead of like calling out people, how do we call them in?
Absolutely.
How do we do that within our community?
If you were to see the kind of work that I do, I hardly have to call out people. I always find ways of how do we work together to improve what is happening around, what is missing, you know. I remember this one time, there is an organization that wanted to work with me, but there are people that did not want to be part of. So for me, already that was a huge issue, to say you are wanting to speak of unity, inclusion and all that, and celebration of us, but you want to leave other people out. I'm not going to fight with you, you know, to say have these people by force. But what I'll say to you is, then I will also not be able to participate, because if I'm endorsing the behavior of saying, let's leave a certain group of people out, then I'm saying it's okay. And that will go on and on and on and on and on. And I think it is important for us as the community to realize our power. That's why I believe in cancel culture. It should happen when really it should happen. Not just because something happened and it's something that we could fix, then we decide that let's cancel it. There are many ways of how we can develop unity without having to say it is important for us. If you come to us, you come to us with respect, and you come to us wanting to listen and wanting to learn. But if we're going to say this is where my take it or leave it, I don't think that's how we should be, you know, addressing things, you know. I don't believe on take it or leave it. I believe on, okay, this is me. This is how I would like for you to address me, or to, you know, to behave around me. And how do you then, you know, see yourself fitting in my life? You know, let it be a conversation between us. Let it not be a fence to say, this is what I'm giving you. It's either you take it or you don't. I don't want a person to only listen to me. I also want to listen to you, just in case mm-hmm. a person has questions, you know.
True.
Just like, you know, I always say with my family knew of a trans person through me. I was the first person, first reference ever that they have of a trans person. And it would have been so unfair if I came to them and said, I'm a trans woman and this is me, and it's either you take it or you don't. You know, I needed to also hear if they have any questions. Even though, yes, I've never had to sit down with them and have that conversation, but had it then happen or should it happen, you know, I'll be willing to sit and listen to say, okay, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
What the questions do you have? Because I needed to also understand that for them, it's something that they are learning through me. They are learning.
I never really ever thought about it that, like, I'm transitioning with my family.
You need to transition with your family, and with, like, the people around you. And you cannot transition alone.
You can't. You need to also take them on with the journey with
Absolutely.
You. Because you need that support, and you need them to also understand your life and how things fare out for you in the world.
And this has been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story, your work, your wisdom, your glamour. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I am deeply honored. I am so honored. You don't understand.
It's my first time being interviewed by a transgender woman, and for me, it is so special. And I think, yeah, you guys deserve a bell. Like, truly, like, I think the feathers need to give you your award for Media of the Year, because for me, really, I think I've always wanted, you know, to sit with another trans woman and hear, you know, their thoughts, but I didn't know that it was going to happen the other way around.
Mm.
Thank you.
Oh, speak it into existence.
Thank you so much.
I know our listeners will be inspired by what you've shared here today. So thank you so much.
Gabon.
That's all for today's episode of Pride Pulse. Join us again next week as we continue to celebrate and amplify the voices of the LGBTIQ+ community. Until next time, keep celebrating who you are and the power of pride.